A lifestyle that is given to excess, where I am out of control, where I'm just needing to feed the appetites of my body, whatever they might be, that's the way the pagans live. That's always in the New Testament. The pagans are given to excess. They're just out there, man. They're eat, drink, be merry, man. Look, tomorrow we die. That's the way that they live.
This is The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Steve's the senior pastor of Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana. Does God care about what we do with our body? If we're flabby or ripped, does it really matter? Does he even care? Today in The Journey, part two of the message, The Body and Why Yours Matters to God. If you missed the first part of this message, or you'd like to go back and listen to the series from the beginning, stop by our website, thejourney.fm, or subscribe to our podcast, The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Now for today's message, here's Steve.
We must believe what God says about my body. Namely, it is very good. Listen to Psalm 139. David writes this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance." And you see David here, he's just rejoicing in the mystery at that time, a couple thousand years ago, of how God forms a human body and a human being within the womb of the mother. And he says, his bottom line is, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I wonder what he might have wrote if he would have seen a picture like that, which we have all over the place. We have a picture of that growing fetus in the womb. It's such a precious, delicate, and wonderful thing, is it not? The way that God forms us and makes us into fully human beings. We see the value of our bodies in Jesus' ministry. He didn't just simply tell people how to go to heaven. He also ministered to their physical needs, didn't he? Healed them, fed them, cared for them. Jesus cared for the human body. We see that in his ministry. And so here's the question. I just wonder, are you prepared to go home and to look in the mirror and to look at the body that you have? And by that I mean including all of your perceptions of its inadequacies. The things that you like, the things that you don't like, and to look in the mirror and to look at that body and to fight against the culture that's trying to tell us that it doesn't matter, it's a plaything, or it's inadequate. And to say, this is the body that God has given to me, and in his eyes, it is good. Think about all of the troubles and brokenness that happens in our world because of people's view of their own body. And I include in that bulimia, anorexia, obsession over cultural standards of beauty that my body has to conform to in order for, in my mind, it to be good. Billions of dollars that are spent on makeovers and all the other things that go into people trying to make their body look good to them. Here's what I want you to realize is that in the eyes of God, your body is good. He gave you the body that you have. And of course, we look around and we got all kinds of bodies right here in this room. Different shapes and sizes and shapes and sizes, and we've got all kinds of bodies here, and you know, that's just the way that God made humanity, is with lots of variety, and all of it is good. He is not embarrassed by what you are embarrassed about in your body. And I just want to say, because I think this is important, that includes bodies that maybe by our standards would have some measure of handicap to them. That body in God's eyes is beautiful and has inherent value. Or a body that maybe has some kind of what we would call deformity of some kind. That body in God's eyes is beautiful and has inherent goodness in it. The human body is valuable and it is part of Jesus' redemptive plan. He died in part to save our bodies. We could say it this way, in God's eyes, all bodies are beautiful and valued. And I wonder if we can look at it that way. And maybe some of you need to go home and stand in front of the mirror and get your Bible out. And you'd be like, all I see is a binding on a Bible. I don't get, well, that's not what I'm saying, okay? You're going to look at it through the grid of what God says about your body. that might be very freeing to many people. I think that's an important point. Second thing in our worldview of the body is to realize that our bodies, while beautiful and good in God's eyes, they are cursed. And that is why a lot of things happen. That's why I feel the way that I do, speaking of those 30 and over. The 17-year-olds right now are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. I feel awesome. You just wait. And all those 30 and above said?
Amen.
Amen. You just wait. We all were where you were at one time. Prime of life. Everything's functioning the way it's supposed to. I remember I was talking to my dad when I was like 20 about this. And I remember my dad saying something like this to me. He said, it's all downhill from here. And I remember being so depressed by that. Like, you mean I'm never going to feel better than I do right now? I'm never going to run faster, jump higher, you know? It's just pretty much downhill? So depressing. And yet, it's the reality. Why? This is true because of the fall. This is the effect of sin. We get older. Things don't work like they used to. We begin to, our metabolism slows down. We begin to lose hair and things like that. Changes happen in the body. Why? Because of the fall. And so we can fight it. We can live in denial. We can dress like a 20-year-old. But the truth is that we cannot stem the effects of Genesis 3. Better to accept it. Better to accept it. And if you don't get this, do what I did a month ago. Go to your 25th high school reunion. There is a lot of theology to be found at high school reunions. And just look around and say, Genesis 3. Okay? So our bodies have inherent goodness, but they are cursed. The next thing we find, and I've touched on this already, is that our bodies were redeemed by Jesus, his death for me. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Again, these Corinthians, they were not thinking anything of going up to the temple and joining themselves with a temple prostitute. And Paul's argument here is, listen, your body is not your body. You're not there to simply use it in whatever way that you want, to simply maximize the pleasure that you want. You are there to use it in a way that is glorifying to God. Use your body. And that is for sure true sexually, but it's true in all the categories. My whole life now is to be lived for the Lord, including the way that I treat and what I do to my body. Jesus owns it. I wonder how many of us look at that. This body is owned by somebody else. And because that is true, I am a steward of this body. It's Jesus' body, but I'm the one living in it, okay? I'm living in this body. And I have a responsibility to live and to use this body in a manner that Jesus would want me to do it. That's what it means to be a steward. We talk about stewardship a lot. We talk about, we talked in 1 Corinthians about stewarding the gifts that God has given to us, that we're all responsible for using this spiritual gift in a manner that the owner of the gift would want. Or we talk about stewarding money, that my money is not my money, that my money is actually God's money, and I am temporarily in charge of it, which means that I'm responsible for using it in a way that is pleasing to Him. How many of us take that same principle and apply it to our bodies? That this body is not my body. Rather, it is the Lord's, which means that I need to use it in a manner that is pleasing to Him. Here's a way to think of it. I think this will help. Let's just say that somebody that you know, they were going out of town for a year or two, and they owned a really expensive Italian sports car, and they wanted you to keep an eye on it for them while they're gone. Now, you just think about, pick your Italian sports car. There's several really cool ones to choose from. Ferrari, Lamborghini. I probably go Ferrari. Red. Okay. I was just imagining that moment. That would have been awesome. How would you treat that car while you were in charge of it? Like, what would you do to be a good steward of it? And I would imagine that most of us, if we were going to take this seriously, we probably would, during the year, we would take it in for regular maintenance checkups, right? Make sure everything's operating the way that it's supposed to. We would occasionally need to take it out for a drive and just sort of work out the kinks in it, you know. Below the speed limit, but fast up to the speed limit. Really fast up to the speed limit. I would be careful to put proper fuel in it. You know, I'm not putting diesel in it. I'm not pulling up to the E85 pump and saying, well, this is cheaper, this'll do. No, I'm gonna put in there probably the premium gas and whatever else it needs. I'm gonna be careful with that. I'm not gonna let my 14-year-old nephew drive it. I'm not parking it at the Lake County Fair. Why? Because it is so valuable. It's such a pristine piece of machinery that if I'm in charge of this car, I'm going to do everything I can to care for it and to treat it as it deserves. And Christian, your body is way more valuable to God than any piece of machinery. Jesus didn't die for a Ferrari. He didn't die for a Lamborghini, but he did die in part to save your body. He has a plan for it. And we have a responsibility in this decaying, dying body to care for it. And so I have three areas of needed attention. As your pastor, just coming here, standing up here in front, saying, I think there's three key areas of needed stewarding of the body that I want to bring to you. Here's the first. Wise self-control over bodily appetites. Wise self-control over bodily appetites. Galatians 5:22 tells us that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, which means that when the Spirit is really active in my life, I don't have less control, I have more control over my body. I am in self-control, Spirit self-control. A lifestyle that is given to excess, where I am out of control, where I'm just needing to feed the appetites of my body, whatever they might be, that's the way the pagans live. That's always in the New Testament. The pagans are given to excess. They're just out there, man. They're eat, drink, be merry, man. Tomorrow we die. That's the way that they live. Philippians 3 says this, their end is destruction, their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. This body that I have, part of the fall, this body has needs. And it always thinks it needs more, doesn't it? My body will continue to want to feed its appetites way more than it needs. Kind of like the children in Willy Wonka. Who just, they can't help themselves as they walk around and they see the different candies and the different, I got to eat this. And people do that, eat, drink, just feeding their body, whatever. The issue is, who is in control? Are you in control of your body, or is your body in control of you? Listen to 1 Thessalonians, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. And there for sure is a moral dimension to what he's getting at. It's probably the primary one. But we have a responsibility to live in control of our bodies, and can by the Spirit. And it seems to me that this is where there is so much hypocrisy in the American evangelical church. Because you go to church, it's easy to go to a stereotypical church, and the preaching is against, you've got to deny yourself, and you've got to live for heavenly things, and these bad people in the world, they're given over to any passion and desire that they have. We can't live like them. We've got to live another path. And people amening and all right, okay. And now we're all dismissed to the fellowship hall. And you get there and all there is donuts and desserts. And God's people sit down and you can tell that it's not the first piece of pie they've probably ate that day. And they are just stuffing their faces and thinking nothing of stewarding the body. Or take the stereotypical preacher. You say, well, you're picking on the congregation. Well, I'll pick on my profession then. How's that? Take the stereotypical preacher, unnaturally overweight, railing against his congregation for living for earthly things and all the passions that you need to be denying yourself. And you look at him and, you know, every button is stretching on his shirt and you can tell his belt is on the last loop. You know, you can almost chart the last year as he's been moving the belt along. Is this stewarding the body? I don't think so. Now, let me make something clear. Is it wrong to eat a steak and a strawberry pie? No. In fact, there's a family in the church taking me out for steak at Gino's after this second service today, and I will eat it to the glory of God. I want you to know that. And strawberry pie is a gift from God. There's no doubt. And that needs to be savored and treasured and loved. So we're not talking about a kind of asceticism. There's plenty in the Bible that God gives everything good for our enjoyment. Okay? It's the excess. It is the lack of moderation. It's the not thinking about my body as somebody else's and just doing long-term damage to it. That is the issue. Can I not eat the steak? Am I free not to eat the steak? Or does it just call me and I can't say no? Am I in charge of my body, or is my body in charge of me? Do I willingly eat, drink, smoke, inhale anything that will damage God's body of which I am a steward? Is my lifestyle, you might say, well, this one thing, one time isn't wrong. Okay, I'm okay with that. I'm not arguing that point. But if I do that and I'm involved in that over time, am I doing damage by my lifestyle to the body that Christ died to redeem? Now I'm tippy-toeing through the tulips right now, and I want to add this. I am not talking about slowing metabolism in age over time. I'm not talking about medical conditions. I'm not talking about 100 exceptions that you could legitimately come up to me and say, well, what about that? And I can't believe that. I'm not talking about that. I think you know what I'm talking about. A lack of self-control and a failure to connect how I live my life in this body with the faith that I profess. We need to integrate everything into our faith, don't we? And I just wonder if we can be a church that values the human body. And we support the Women's Center, and we got other things. We're solidly theologically grounded in the inherent goodness of the human body and personhood, no matter how big and small it is. We're totally in on that. Can we be a church that values the human body without hating it, abusing it, or worshiping it? And that's what the world does. They either hate their body, or they abuse their body, or they worship their body. That's why when you work out at Gold's Gym or some other place, there's mirrors everywhere. It's not so you can see other people, it's so that you can see yourself, right? Can we be a church that values a Christian who doesn't obsess over their body, but stewards it as a gift? I think it's one way to live out our Christianity in this culture. Here's the second, okay? Second is what I'm calling faithful fitness. Faithful fitness. Again, this is my observation that this needs to be a part of what it means to live in the body. And there are more important things than this. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but you know, that whole thing, I embrace that as well. But so this isn't the most important thing I'll ever say to you, but I think it is important. Stewarding the body includes caring for the body, faithful fitness, wellness, a basic lifestyle of health. And I'm a pastor, I'm not a fitness instructor, I'm not a nutritionist, so I called a woman in our church who is. Christine Jensen, been a member here for a very long time, she's a nutritionist and deals with these kind of things, ran the Ironman triathlon or whatever in Hawaii, and so this is a woman to listen to on this subject. And I wrote her and we said, give me something I can put on the screen. And so here's what she said, for a basic lifestyle of wellness. 8 hours of sleep per night, I did not fulfill that last night, sadly. A minimum activity of exercise. Okay, there's some. Next, eat at least 3 meals a day. Okay, most of us have no struggle in that area. Happy to. In the words of the Hobbits, what about second breakfast? You know, we have no issue there. Variety of wholesome foods. That might be helpful for many of us. I don't see fried as a recommended food group. Adequate hydration, lifestyle helps, managing stress, positive supportive relationships, who doesn't want that? So there's the wellness expert in our church, what she would suggest. And you've probably heard similar things to this, and it doesn't mean that all of us need to be Hans and Franz or anything like that. But I do think that we need to think about that. How are you caring for the body and stewarding it? I would love to see a culture, a little more of this in our church. Again, not where we're obsessing over it, and you know, you walk into church, and you know, we're not weighing you as you come in, and you know, celebrating the biggest loser every weekend or something like that. I'm not talking about that. Also, not talking about people policing this, walking up to one another, going, "Well, you know, you're really not. Here's a sermon for you." That kind of thing. Don't know. We're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about none of that. Talk about stewarding it. But I want that to be grounded in a broader theology of the body. That's why we're doing it. Now, here's my final point today. Why do we do this? Okay? Why care about this? In some contexts, people would, they would get all jazzed about that. Or maybe you've got a body that you're like, well, finally a weekend that I look good at, you know, and you want to sort of see yourself in, no. Okay? That is not at all what we're talking about here. Why does a Christian care about stewarding the body? I've given you a couple of reasons already. It's part of God's plan. It's inherently good. Jesus died to redeem it. He values. Matter matters to God. But here's a final important one. I care for my body so that I might have maximum kingdom impact in this one life that I have to live. It always comes back to the same point. It always comes back to Christ. It comes back to the Great Commission. It comes back to the kingdom of God. We do what we do because he is who he is. And he has given us a call. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We do that in a body. We never have an out-of-body experience in doing it. I am doing it in this body. As I steward this body as best I can, I am more equipped, more fit, more able to serve the Lord. When I abuse my body, when I don't take care of my body, when I get lethargic and sedentary in my lifestyle, I am low on motivation and I am not going to do very much. I think of my hero, Jim Elliot. You probably, many of you know Jim Elliot, missionary martyr, died reaching the Aka Indians, famous for his statement, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim Elliot, when he went to Wheaton College, joined the wrestling team. He had never wrestled before. Joined the wrestling team and made it very clear that the reason that he did it is so that he might have a more fit temple to serve the Lord. Now, this is, again, not the most important thing I'm ever going to say to you. It's a secondary kind of theological issue. But I do think that it is important. And I would sure love to see a little bit more of this kind of mindset within our congregation. Now, do what you can, okay? If you're old here, you're like, oh, this is a depressing message. I'd love to get out and do something, but I can't. I've got two knee replacements, and my hip's been replaced, and they're about to replace everything else. Do what you can, all right? If you're here, I've got 7 kids under the age of 3. I don't have any time to do any of this. Okay, it's a stage of life. We get it. It's fine. But you can have those kids and sit at home and eat bonbons all day. And that's what I'm talking about. Who's in control? Is your body in control of you, or are you in control of your body by the Spirit? These things are important. Because this is the context within which I am living out my life of worship to God. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. So care for it. Steward it. Don't love it. Don't worship it. Don't live for it. It's going to be dead in the ground someday. But care for it.
Thank you, Pastor Steve, for this biblical look on why it matters how we treat our body and how it affects our soul and mind as well. This is The Journey with Steve DeWitt. In addition to the broadcast, we also have teaching material available on our website, thejourney.fm. Just click on the Teaching tab. There you can find the message notes for each day, along with some additional resources. That's thejourney.fm. And while you're there, would you drop us an email? We'd love to hear from you and how the Lord is working in your life. Once again, our website is thejourney.fm. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on The Journey.